January 2019, we went as part of a team to Feed the Hungry to Kibera, the biggest slum in Kenya in Africa. And we served there in three schools, a church for just over a week, and a medical centre which had been established by a pastor who had worked there for 30 years. And we carry on volunteering to this day.
Subsequent to that though, Andy, things took a turn.
Yeah.
Explain.
On the 15th of March last year, we were due to come down to London here and do a food pack on behalf of Feed the Hungry. That was all prepared at the warehouse, but I had an appointment with a doctor. 4 years ago, I had tests because I was having certain symptoms and I was told that they were all clear. I'd had subsequent tests and was told on the 15th of March at about 11:30 in the morning that I had advanced metastatic prostate cancer. For those of you that don't know what the term metastatic means, it means that it has already spread. The doctor said it shouldn't have happened, but it has. We were then taken away by two specialist prostate nurses and talked to for about an hour, and I was given two huge injections into my belly, one on either side. Excuse me for being a bit graphic, but this is real. This is what's happened to me, like I said. We left hospital after talking with the nurses, went to the Feed the Hungry warehouse where the manager, we shared the news with him, and he immediately prayed with us. We picked the van up, and we journeyed down here to London, set up for the food pack that we were doing the next day. And then this is God's provision beforehand. We had arranged, because we didn't know what the news was going to be from the hospital, we arranged to stay with my daughter Amy and Zach that night. And I hugged my daughter for 3/4 of an hour as we shared the news and then we prayed, and we, as we say, we kept calm and we carry on. The next morning we did the food pack, and then we, on the way back, my son and daughter-in-law live in Dunstable, and we were able to go and share the news with them. God's provision was that I was able to share our news within 24 hours with our four, we call them our four children. Our children-in-law are not our children-in-law, they are our children-in-love. They are God's gift to our children. And so we call them our children-in-love. That was God's provision.
So how you cope with that spiritually as you moved on from that, Andy?
It took me about 6 weeks to gain a measure of peace. I said to you about guarding your mind. When you're awake in the middle of the night, all sorts, 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, I've done it in the job, in the fire service lots of times, 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, your body is at its lowest point. And so negative thoughts can come into your mind, and you have to guard your mind. And so, like I said, I log on to websites, and listen to sermons to put the Word of God in my mind to transfer those negative thoughts away. Sometimes I fall asleep. Well, that's great as well. Another way was that two ladies particularly encouraged me. One of the ladies who went to Kibera with us was a long-standing friend. In the middle of the night, she was awake, and it was during the six-week period. She said to me when I saw her, "Andy, I was awake in the middle of last night and I was praying for you, and God sent this verse for you. Isaiah 43 verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you by my righteous right hand." And this lady wrote that card for me. That card sits on my bedside cabinet so that the last thing at night, the first thing in the morning, It's what I see. We have written verses, spiritual verses from the Bible on the mirrors around our home upstairs, so that when I wake up in the morning and I've got a bit of fear, because you do, I'm human. When you wake up in the morning, you don't look at the fear in your eyes, you look at the Word of God. And another lady who we work with at Feed the Hungry sent me an email with loads of scriptures, again, which I use, believing the Word of God. Remember what I said about the definition of faith. Faith is believing what Jesus says. And these sorts of things are ways of believing what Jesus says is going to be true. When he says, I will never leave you or forsake you, believe it. When he says, I've gone to prepare a place for you, believe it. But that is to the believer, to those who have put their faith and their trust, admitted that they are sinners, asked for God's forgiveness, accepted that the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross. He died on that cross for me. He died on that cross for me. He walked there. He knew what he's going to. Do you know what? When Jeremy was talking about heaven, I can't wait to look Jesus in the eye. Say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Sorry about that. Okay, yeah. So, yeah. Thank you. Thanks.
So through this experience, there's been a real dawning of the reality of heaven and the anticipation of being with the Lord.
Yeah, there is a tension. There is a tension between wanting to be with the Lord, where I read a book not too long after I was diagnosed by John Blanchard called Hitchhiker's Guide to Heaven. And in one of the chapters, he talks about all the things that are not going to be at heaven. There's going to be no more chemo, no more needles sticking in you every month, no more grey hair, no more need for glasses, no more imperfect body, as Jeremy has shared with us. And that was such an encouragement. The other thing that has been an encouragement, I've never asked the question why. Why can take you down wrong avenues. What we have been able to do, and if I can share a couple of instances. The second time that I saw the consultant, he shared with us that I had a period of chemo, and I also have a hormone replacement therapy, because in men, cancer feeds off testosterone. So every 28 days I have an injection into my belly that reduces testosterone in my body. He told us that these treatments would hold down the cancer for a period of time, then they won't. And he told us a period of time which we know, but that's in God's hands as well. We came out of that interview. What has been amazing, every time we have gone for anything to do with the medical side, by chemo, appointments, CT scans, MRI scans, whatever, there has been that peace which passes all understanding. We've been able to sit and talk with the doctors, to understand what they're saying, to be able to take in what they're saying. We weren't peaceful when we came out. We sobbed. What we committed to do, Elaine and I, because this is as much a journey for my wife of 41 years as it is for me, was to glorify him. He's enabled us to do that, because when you have cancer, it opens the way. People are prepared to listen to what you say. And I'd like to just share, before I finish, two very specific instances where we were able to use what's happening to me. We had some very long-standing friends called Colin and Maureen. Colin was in the fire service. He eventually became one from the top. He was Deputy County Fire Officer of Warwickshire. I was one up from the bottom as a crew commander. Elaine felt one evening after my second chemo that we should, that she should ring them to let them know about me. They live about 25 miles away, something like that. They wanted to come over. They came over on the Monday. And we chatted in the conservatory for about 20 minutes. And during Elaine's conversation, she had asked Maureen, how are you? And she said, oh, I'm just waiting for some tests. They came, we chatted for 20 minutes in the conservatory, and then I looked Maureen in the eye, and I said to Maureen, how are you? And she said to me, Andy, we've just come from Walsgrave Hospital, where I've been diagnosed with two tumours in my tummy, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I spent the next hour and a half sharing my experience of going through chemotherapy, the emotional side, all the side effects, because there are a lot of side effects. Fortunately, I only had about four. But I was able to share with them on a practical, because I don't know if any of you in here have had cancer or have cancer. There is an instant link with somebody else who says they have cancer, between people who have cancer. Instant. It's not something that somebody with cancer and somebody without cancer has. It is a link. And when they're Christians, it's even closer. I was able to share, and we've shared mutual texts in the morning, mutual bits of scripture, loads of things like that. And with other friends, I've got three other friends who have or have had cancer. They have been a constant encouragement. The second instance, we talk about coincidence. This isn't coincidence, this is God incidence. On my fourth chemo session at Leicester Infirmary, we were due to go in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and they were busy. You'd be surprised at how many people are in chemo wards. I didn't get in till 4:30, so I sat down. They hook you up, put the needle in your hand, put the drip in, and you just sit there and the chemo goes in. So that was 2.5 hours after I should have gone in. An elderly gentleman came in next to me, sat next to me, and we just started chatting. And please don't be offended by this. An African nurse came. This gentleman's name was Graham, and he wore a couple of hearing aids. And the African nurse was very professional, she was very good, but she had quite an accent, and Graham was struggling to understand what she was saying. And I could see that. And Graham was diagnosed with exactly the same as me. I could see that he was struggling, so I said, hi, I'm Andy, who are you? He said, I'm Graham, I'm 75 years old. We shared a bit of our story, and then I said, are you all right with all this? And he said, I'm struggling with it. I don't know what, I couldn't hear half of it. So I then talked through all the tablets that you have to take, the fact that after you have your injection, your chemo, for 5 days afterwards, you have to have an injection into your belly, which my wife gave me. The fact that some of the tablets give you insomnia and things like this, and just shared with him. And also, at the same time, on many occasions as well, I must get this in, we had the opportunity to share our faith, telling our story, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to other people, because you can see the fear in their eyes. And we shared, and we were able, Elaine would go in, she'd sit with me while I was being hooked up. Then she'd wander up and down, offering to make cups of tea for the patients. We wanted to glorify God. We wanted to show that the hope that we have, that Jeremy has so succinctly and with such great insight shared with us tonight, the hope is real, and that gives us a smile on our face because of that hope. I was able to share with Graham, to explain to him about chemo, That's not coincidence. Not 2.5 hours. And we've had many opportunities to share and to try in our own small way, and I say we, because it's as much as Elaine as I am, as me, to share our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that we have that eternal hope. And boy, after listening to Jeremy describe this evening that heavenly body, that is such a hope. When you know you've got cancer, it is such a hope that we have a Lord who has saved us, walked to the cross for me, for each one of us, when we put our faith and our trust in him. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord tonight, please don't walk out of here. Please talk to somebody who you know who is a Christian, so that when our souls, as Jeremy has talked about, separate from our body, you're going to go to heaven. And I'm going to be able to look the Lord Jesus Christ in the eye and say to him, thank you for saving me, a sinner. Thank you for saving me.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks for sharing. And I would just say what an encouragement Andy has been to me, to see him go on by faith. The triumph of the gospel is seen when we respond to life circumstances by faith. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't want any applause, please. No. No.
Let's pray together. Oh, Father, oh, loving Father God, we thank you that we deal with realities tonight. We thank you that we're not dealing with mental shenanigans or manipulations, but your intervention in lives. And we thank you for you coming into the life of Andy in a special way through this experience. And thank you for what you are doing in and through him. And thank you for the power of the gospel and the triumphant grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, made so evident by your Spirit in his life. Pray for him and Elaine as they journey through this experience together. May they shine as bright lights, even brighter than you have led them already. And we just commit them to your favourable grace again, O Lord, knowing that you're the God who does not make mistakes, Lord. And we trust all to you. And continue with us now, O God, as the word of God is opened up once again to our hearts, that we might be led to a knowing of this great King over all. That as Andy has stirred us by his faith, you would now stir us by your Spirit in your word. Bless your servant Jeremy, that he would be enabled afresh to bring that which is of heaven, from heaven, to us now, as we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.